put it out there to Melbourne during the week. And I say, get him back. He was good on debut last week. But he's no stranger to us here at 11:16 SEN, Kieran Blake. 365 Days of Sport, that is where he is, made a bit of a name for himself, but he loves his sport from A to Z, and he's with us here on a Sunday again. Good to see you.
Good afternoon, BP. Thanks for having me again. I'm loving it.
Hey, we're going to talk some fishing, surely. It's not often Fantastic. We talk a bit of fishing
Yep.
on Sunday Sports Central, but there's a little story that's brewing that's pricked our interest.
Yeah, man with a challenge of his own, yes. Unfortunately, only did 126 days, though, so, fairly amateur effort. No, fair credit to him, and raising great money for cancer, cure for cancer and cancer awareness and everything else. So, yeah, it'd be great to talk to Phil.
Yeah, no doubt. What's sort of taking your eye as a man who's immersed in sport like all of us?
Well, I went and had a look at the head of the river rowing yesterday. I'm in South Yarra, so I heard all the noise and all the commotion and nipped down to the river, saw hundreds and hundreds of boats taking in the great summer weather. Good, it's about time the weather changed. But the big news for me this week was the Australian Chopperoos are the world champions again.
Is that right?
Yes, they took out the world championship in the teams event in the wood chopping in Stuttgart.
No, I saw a great little story on Fox Sports a couple of weeks ago. I was I've forgotten about following that this weekend.
So they're the Chopperoos in the. It's a teams relay event. They took on. They got through the final. Took on Canada, and there's two Victorians in the team actually. Lawrence O'Till and Brandon Meyer. They're you know, big names in the world of wood chopping, and they paired up or quadded up with New South Wales' Brad DeLoza and Queensland's Jamie Head. So it's a four-stage relay. So you start off with a chainsaw race. You cut what they call biscuits off the end of the log, and you do a double cut. Then you whack onto the underhand chop where you stand on the block and you hack through. And then the next thing is a saw, the big single buck, you know, 150-tus saw. So you chop a biscuit off the end of another log, and then you finish off with the old standing block chop. So the Aussies actually broke the world record. So they did it, those four legs in less than 47 seconds, I believe. So they're the three-peat world champions. So something to hang your hat on there.
Bring it, the Chopperoos.
Yes.
That is the name that just
it's fantastic, isn't it? And, I mean, look, if you're interested in fantastic team names. Australia probably leads the world, but the Kiwis are well over it. You've probably heard of the New Zealand badminton team, the Blackcocks.
Yes.
Yeah, so, and talking about the Kiwis, just on in the wood chopping in Stuttgart as well, the Kiwi individual, he's won the world championship for the 8th time. Yes. Jason Wynyard, he is 8-time world champion. He does the all around. So basically, they compete against each other, and he's the king of the heap. So the best wood chopper in the world.
So for those that haven't caught our segment, and Beefy, he's been on an amazing journey, just going to parts unknown, just discovering sports in the last 12 months. So we're going to throw in a few different sporting results and stories that are just a bit off mainstream.
Yeah, I kind of my area. I love finding these sports. You don't get a lot of media coverage, but I'm happy to show them to the rest of the world and tell everyone about them. And, you know, everyone's got that passion for something deep down. And whether it be dancing with dogs or whether it be wood chopping, it's, you know, we're all over it. So I'm here to tell you all about it.
Well, if you're listening out there and there's anything else you can unearth that we can have a chat about or that you might be able to go and explore, 94291116, if there is a sport, a sporting event that we don't know about.
I've got another one for you later in the show, Brett, that you won't believe is a world championship.
Nice. We'll get to that. Now, the biggest fishing event Australia has ever seen departing the Melbourne Boat Show 2016. One man, one boat, 16,500 kilometres of challenging ocean, 148 days of unforgettable fishing. And I believe that Mark Ratchford has returned from his challenge today. He's docked back into Melbourne. Phil Wall, of course, who's synonymous when it comes to fishing with his own fishing show, joins us on the line. G'day, Phil.
G'day, Brett. How are you? How are you going?
Going very well. Fish for Life. This has been, you know, raising money for a great cause, which you can explain to us, but man who's been on an amazing journey.
I think what I might do, I think I said enough over with the show there on Clash Point Radio and also 3MP Early Doors. I think I might hand it over to Mark Ratchford. Mark can have a bit of a chat to you and Beefy in the studio. Absolutely fantastic journey. We'll discuss it later next Saturday morning, but I'm going to put Mark Ratchford on. He just landed about 2 hours ago into the port here in the Cove Hotel at Carrum. He's ready to rock and roll. Have a chat, okay?
Right, I'll tell you, good work, nice work, Phil. Going to the heart of this story. Mark, welcome back.
How you going there, Brett?
Feet back on the ground.
Yeah, feet back on the ground, mate. I don't feel like it, but I still feel like I'm rocking.
Wow. 16,000. Did you do 16,500 Ks? Did you clock it?
I think we ended up at about 15,500. That's where I think we ended up.
Right. Okay. So just give us a bit of background to how this all sort of came together.
Okay. So I had friends of mine who lost their six-year-old child. My wife's best friend passed away from cancer.
Right.
And I turned around and I lost friends as well and a mentor of mine. So
yep.
I said that I wanted to do something to help. Originally I run charter boats out of Carrum, and we did a fundraiser on the charter boat and donated a portion to our friends that lost their six-year-old. And then I said to my wife one morning, I said, I want to do something bigger to get the word out there and help out and raise as much funds as we possibly can. So she said, what do you want to do? I said, I don't know. I woke up a few days later and I said, how about we circumnavigate Australia, because it's the industry that I'm in and there's a good chance I'll get the sponsors in that industry. And that happened. The sponsors jumped straight on board. So that made life a lot easier for me.
Great news, Mark, and congratulations. I bet you're probably glad it's all over, and you're a man after my own heart, basically. And any hairy moments when you were going around the top end, or anything kind of out the ordinary you might have seen?
Mate, there was plenty out of the ordinary. There's no doubt about that. Going around the bottom of Tasmania, we didn't get in until about 10 o'clock at night because we had three low-pressure systems, and they were all together. It was making it nearly cyclonic, and we got caught in the start of it, which was 40 knots. And when I was in Hobart itself, I got out of the boat in the morning and it was snowing and it was 175 kilometre an hour winds. Ooh. That they'd clocked when I was there.
And was, to get around Australia, what kind of boat are you actually in? It's obviously it's got to have to stand up to conditions and changing conditions as well.
Yeah, it's a 6.5 metre Evolution trailer boat powered by Mercury's.
Wow, that's actually, I thought it'd be a little bit bigger than that, to be honest.
A lot of people have. I've had it called a dinghy by the commercial cray fishermen overseas. In Tasmania.
And places like Port Lincoln as well. You come across any monster tuna?
Yeah, the biggest tuna I've seen were off Tasmania's west coast, and we didn't have a chance to be able to stop and fish for them, because we had this front chasing us. So that was a bit sad. But look, Port Lincoln, out off of there. I've got some footage off of Esperance where there was a great white came up. I was actually on another boat where we were pulling a cray pot and the great whites come up to take the cray pot. I swam out at a Honeymoon Bay on the border of the Northern Territory and Western Australia border. I had to swim out to my boat in about 6 metres of water, and I asked the locals, I said, how do I get back out to my boat? They said, you take a torch, you look to see if you see any crocodile eyes at the top for about 15 minutes. If you don't, you swim very fast, and that's what I did.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Crikey.
So, obviously, it's been a massive fundraiser. Have you got any ideas about the totals you might have raised so far?
I think on the journey itself has been about 60,000, and then the boat is all the proceeds from the boat and the outboards when it gets sold at auction, all them proceeds go as well. Now, they're expecting to receive about 120,000 in proceeds from the boat.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's a fantastic effort.
Will you contemplate doing something like this again, Mark?
Look, I've already put my name down for Survivor. So, I'm quite happy to, look, I think I've got a little bit of the adventure bug.
I'll tell you what, Mark, I might join you on that one. We might make a fine pair on Survivor.
That sounds like a plan.
All right, mate, well done. Can we see any of the vision anywhere that you've been able to take?
Go onto our Facebook.
Yep.
Which is fishforlife.org.au, or onto our website. There's vision on both of them.
Great stuff. So fishforlife.org.au, of course, not-for-profit fundraising organisation, raising funds for the Cancer Council of Australia. Mark, he departed on Sunday, June 20th, and as doctor back in today, taking on one of the biggest boating and fishing challenges, circumnavigating Australia, mate. Hats off to you from
Thank
me
you
and Beefy.
Much.
That is outstanding.
Thank you very much, guys.
Mark Retchford, he can put his feet up tonight.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. It's you'll have the denial come in and, what have I just done and what am I going to do next? That's the big questions.
29 past three, Kieran Blake with me at this hour, of course. 365 days of sport. Hey, a lot of cricket being played across the country. We're keeping an eye on it. New Zealand, interestingly, tailing up Pakistan, who are coming to Australia, of course, in the next couple of months. Unfortunately, their batsmen, they've had a bit of a tradition of not dealing all that well with the green seeming tracks over there in New Zealand.
And I'll be honest, I've seen quite a bit of this test. The ball wasn't doing that much. It's just bad batting. You know, like we've seen Australia so far, but Pakistanis not adjusting to the little seeming conditions. And look, be honest, the New Zealand bowlers, they put it in the right areas. That's all they've had to do.
It's a fascinating team, Pakistan, to watch on paper. I mean, they've been a pretty good test nation, risen right up in the rankings. Yep. And you look at, apart from Yunus Khan and Mishbah in the middle, it's this...
Who are both over 40.
Exactly. It's this side that you go, gee, on paper, you would think you'd just rip through it. I mean, there's a lot of young talent, and they've always unearthed talent at a very young age in Pakistan. If you're good enough and if you're 16 or 17, we'll throw you in.
They're a washing machine, though, aren't they? They're a washing machine of cricket. They put people in, they take people out, they put people in the dryer and hang them out on the line. You'd hate to be a cricketer in Pakistan. You don't know whether you're coming or going. You probably don't even know where you stand. I mean, it's a huge country. They don't play any test cricket at home, obviously. No, it's very difficult. So, it's a case of who's available sometimes.
Australia, the Southern Stars, 2 for 77. They're taking on South Africa at the moment. Victoria, obviously, in a very nice position, about to wrap up. A couple of wickets to get. New South Wales, 8 for 180. So they're still trailing the Vicks by 210 runs. South Australia trail by 196 against Queensland, 6 for 249 in their second innings. And WA in control, leading, of course, Tasmania by 205. Tassie about to go in and bat for a second time. And, of course, India and England, that has been a very interesting test match. Just underway there on the fourth day. India resuming at 3 for 98. A lead of 298 at the moment.
Yeah, seeing quite a bit of this test match as well. It's typical Indian pitch, turns a bit, but there's also quite a bit in it for the seamers. But the one big thing is, I think this is the first ever test match they've ever played in the Punjab up there. A lot of cracks opening, so hopefully England won't have too much to chase in this fourth innings. But looking at the way the Indians have batted so far, I think they could be chasing 400 to 500 by the look of it.
Absolutely. 9-4, 2-9, 11-16 if you want to join us this hour. You said at the top of the hour you had a little doozy that you might throw in.
Did you know it was the World Roll-Off Cycling Championships last weekend in Bundanoon in New South Wales?
The Roll-Off
World Championships,
Explain, please.
Okay. You basically get on a bike.
Right.
You're not allowed to have the chain on the links.
Yeah.
You push off with one foot, you go down a hill. Now there's two world champions. One of goes a set amount of time in the quickest time, a set amount of length in the quickest time. So obviously first past the post, they're the new world champion. Yeah. But they also do whoever gets the longest. So you push off once, you get yourself into position on the bike and you glide down the hill as far as you possibly can. And that was held in New South Wales last weekend.
Now, has this been formed here, or is this...
I'm pretty sure it has been formed here, but I'm sure it's one of those things that, like we said, it's sport out there for anyone. I reckon anyone can do or compete in the Roll-Off World Championships, and, you know, you could well set yourself a new goal of becoming a world champion next year. So the Cycling Roll-Off World Championships held in Bundanoon in New South Wales.
Okay, wherever you might be listening, if you've got an idea that's been ticking over in your mind, you think, how can I actually bring it to fruition, a sporting event, let us know. This is the perfect forum, 9-4-2-9-11-16, or something you've heard on the grapevine about an emerging sporting event.
And I get emailed about all these new sports and hybrid sports and everything else, like Segway polo. You know, jump on a Segway, play polo. Why not? That's a new sport. But hybrid sports are coming out all the time. And, it's... there's variations on themes and building sports into singular sports. I mean, we've seen modern pentathlons in the Olympics, but there's racket-a-thon or racket-thlon, where basically individuals play squash, table tennis, tennis and badminton all in one, and it's a one event type thing. So you get the Racket-thon World Championship.
Oh, goodness. I'll tell you what, there's just no limits in this sporting world. Hey, Ken and Glenn Iris was just inquiring about Mark Ratchford, the man we spoke to, fishforlife.org.au, is it just .org? I think the website. But log on there, Ken, have a look. There's quite a few videos on there documenting a bit of his footage, having circumnavigated Australia, raising some great money for the Cancer Council, and spent about 140-odd days. fishforlife.org.au is where you can see some of that footage. All right, we're going to have a quick chat, Beefy, to Xavier Player. He's out watching, of course, the Melbourne Aces today. Now, they haven't always been great starters to the Australian Baseball League season, but they're having a very good series here against the Perth Heat. And Xavier, as we rejoin you, top of the ninth, still in control, the Aces.
Still in control, 5-1. Cody Jones added a run in the bottom of the eighth, so it's 5-1. Pretty much since last time we spoke, it's become a... a battle of the bullpen. Some really good efforts from the relief pitchers at the moment. We've got a no ball and one strike count. Perth with a man on first. Sam Canale batting. His brother Matt's on first. And yes, the two outs away from victory. So just hoping that we can maybe induce a ground ball double play and second to first and get away with the 3-1 series victory.
Xavier, how are they coping with the heat out there? It's a stinking hot day in Melbourne. So on the AstroTurf over there, it might get a bit warm.
It's an interesting place, Altona, because it's really exposed. So the wind comes in. And on days like today when it's warm, it's not the most pleasant place to be in the world. Although I think it's also not the most unpleasant day I've had out here. I was out here for a series, New Year's 2015, I believe, and it had been 45 degrees that day, and it was a 7 o'clock start. Absolutely unbearable.
not good at all. Quite happy to be in the confines here. Thank you, Xavier. Xavier Play, he's part of our SCN America team. So 5-1 up, top of the ninth, top of the seventh, Adelaide 4, Sydney 3. Bottom of the sixth innings, Canberra and Brisbane at one apiece. John Zed on the road. Welcome to you, John.
How are you going?
Yeah, going well.
I saw something on the TV which I thought was absolutely crazy, but they were pommies. Blokes running around sitting on a broomstick.
Oh, and you're not telling me Quidditch?
Yes, and they're going to have a Premier League of Quidditch. I mean, what's wrong with these people?
John, I can actually tell you.
What is it?
I went to the World Cup of Quidditch in North Carolina this year. Can you believe that?
No, I can't.
Yeah, I know. It's basically taken it from Harry Potter and they've turned it into an actual game. You actually have to play with a broomstick between your legs at all times.
Right. So hang on, paint the picture for me. So how many on each team?
Probably 8 a side.
Right.
The goals are actually 3 hoops.
Okay.
And you actually have to throw the ball through the hoop to get points. But there's one ball in play, which is the scoring ball.
Yep.
But there's 3 other balls that are in play you can use to take people out of the game. So you throw these other balls at the other players and you have to run around the back or touch the hoop to get back in play. It's a big thing in American colleges. They play, obviously, a lot of students into Harry Potter.
Yeah.
But it's good to see a lot of pale people getting active. That's what I like to see.
I'll tell you what, this is the challenge for our callers out there to see if he can stump Beefy, because he is across every sport known to man. If you can stump him, we've got a prize for you. And come up with something that he hasn't heard of. 9429 1116. Going to chat to Sean Maloney from Fox Sports. Also preview the Melbourne victory there. Women who need a win today down at Lakeside if you want to head down there for a 4 o'clock kickoff. And anything else you want to throw into this hour as well. Sunday Sports Central. 19-4 and Kieran Blake is with me this hour. 365 days of sport. Melbourne Aces, so we can tell you have won that game against the Perth Heat and take out the series. That is a very good start to the year down there at Altona. 5-1. Very tight at the top of the leaderboard at the Australian Open Golf. Beefy, we'll get back to some live coverage, but Cameron Smith and Jeff Ogilvie both tied at 13 under par down the stretch now. Ashley Hall at 12 under. Jason Scrivener and Jordan Spieth both at 11 under par. Quick update in the NBL. Illawarra 37. The Breakers 31 at the moment. And live in the last quarter of the WNBL, the Dandenong Rangers 74. Melbourne 65. And the Vics have got New South Wales at the moment, 8 for 201 in their second inning. So a long way behind. And just need to capture those last 2 wickets for an outright win. Hey, a lot of good rugby union going on around.
Fantastic. Great. It's a great time, November, for internationals. There's internationals everywhere all over Europe. So,
absolutely.
It's been jam-packed.
Of course, we had Ireland get into the All Blacks, 21-9. Italy just got over South Africa, who are going through a bit of a struggle at the moment. The Welsh just pipping Japan.
Yeah, we kicked a drop goal in the in added time, so just a sneak out of that one. Japan massively improving. That's what I keep telling myself.
Scotland just over Argentina, but the Wallabies is what we want to talk about with Sean Maloney from Fox Sports, because once again, they've found a way to win undefeated on this European tour. Welcome, Sean.
Hello, man. What an exciting finish. What a perfect way to get your Sunday morning kicked off this morning with the Wallabies hanging on against a very, very good French outfit. They've been pretty ordinary in years past. They turned up this morning, put in a couple of incredible tries, but our men hung tough despite going into the game with 12 changes from last week's starting lineup. So it was massive, fellas.
Yeah, it's good to see Australia trying to play expansive rugby as well, even though they're still tinkering with that back line and trying to find a partner for Kurundrani. You know, gone are the Horan and Little days where we had the same centres for God knows how long. But we've got to find a centre partnership that's going to rile the Kiwis and the English.
I expect Reece Hodge will go back in at 12 next week when the Wallabies take on Ireland. But today, Savita Kurundrani, he's shone in that 13 jersey, scoring one of the most incredible tries, guys. I don't know if you've seen it yet. It's on the social medias. The way he found just enough space to touch down in the corner to set up what proved to be a match-winning lead was incredible. So he was good. Dave Pocock was just on another planet. He was doing some incredible things throughout that game. And Luke Morahan as well, his starting debut, he played some pretty sharp footy too. So a number of these guys who are given the chance to aim up, step in, really repay the faith given to them by Michael Checker.
Of course, in the old days, Sean, Kurundrani's try wouldn't have been a try, would it? Because ball touched
the... he caught the corner post, but that was just stunning the way that TK found a way to get that down. So they move on to Ireland and they'll be full of confidence.
And going back to David Pocock, great to see him back at seven, where he probably should be playing. Stole the show.
He destroyed them. He absolutely destroyed the French. His on-ball work today was just insane. And even some of his covering defence, getting back and saving a certain try that was going to be scored against him, he could not put a foot wrong. And he led the side as well in the absence of Stephen Moore. He was just something else.
Yeah, you can't gloss over that tackle he made late on when Scott Spedding broke clear and... more than likely, 90% certainly saved a try and probably would have tipped the game back in the French's favour. And don't forget, if you haven't seen the game, just a spoiler alert, as they say, France did actually miss a drop goal at the whistle to actually win the game.
They did. So and Wallabies, you know what, they had to really, really hang in there as well because they were under enormous pressure in the closing minutes. The French had a scrum feed and... you know what, the Wallabies, if they'll probably concede a penalty at scrum time there and go on to lose the game by a point by a penalty goal. So they will take so much out of that game and set this up beautifully for the last 2 weeks. Of course, Ireland going down against New Zealand, as you touched on there, revenge for the All Blacks. The other one as well, the huge result overnight was Italy beating South Africa.
Yes.
That is just extraordinary.
I know you spent a bit of time in Rovigo, Sean. What will that do for Italian rugby, do you think?
They needed something like that because, as you know, Ken, they've sort of started their way through the Six Nations over the last few years. They sort of get a little bit of momentum and they fall right. They regress massively. But to break through with a two-point win against a powerhouse out of the Southern Hemisphere will do huge things for the game over there. They've declared it as the start of something new in Italian rugby, and I hope that's the case because when they're on, they can prove a real handful, as the Springboks found out. And Springboks fans, they want blood. They want head coach Alistair Coetzee's head, and they want it on a platter.
And I bet you might not have seen this one, but Georgia, they knocked over Samoa, which is another basically an upset.
Yeah, right, okay. So Georgia, yeah, well, I think they had a bit of success against Tonga in the World Cup. They're coming on quite well. A lot of those, I mean, the rugby world, and you see it at this time of year, as you touched on, Kieran, it's such a great time of year because we see all these nations in action. To see Japan go close against Wales, I mean, it just shows you how strong rugby is globally. They might struggle a touch here in Australia, but globally it is really firing.
Yeah, I'm excited by it all, and it's good to see all these, what we call the lesser nations, getting a good run at some of the big boys.
It is. It's great to see them given a shot, and November, it's a beautiful time of year for rugby, no doubt about it.
Good stuff. Sean, thank you. A couple of games to go and some good players to come back into that Wallabies team as well that were rested for this match, and hopefully they can end that tour undefeated, but we'll wait and find out, and appreciate your time.
Grand Slam still on the table, boys. Grand Slam still on the table.
Sean Maloney, Fox Sports, wrapping up the Wallabies last night, 25-23 over the French in a very close, hard-fought game. And, of course, the Kangaroos play, I think it's in the early hours of tomorrow morning, around about 1:30, play New Zealand at Anfield.
At Anfield, the home of rugby league, you know, in England.
Exactly. We'll have a preview of that a little bit later on. We'll take a break. Plenty of live sport to update. Kieran Blake is here. Can you stump him? This is a man that knows the A to Z of sport. This is your challenge, folks. Quidditch, we've had this air. What else have we mentioned? Anything else we're throwing in?
All sorts.
All sorts.
Just hit
Stumpy,
me. Hit me
come
with
up with one that he hasn't heard of, an event.
Or even seen. I've seen most
exactly
of them.
Exactly. 9429-1116. You're speaking to the man, 365 Days of Sport. He's been around the world. He's seen it all. Covering the world of sport on this Sunday afternoon at 9 to 4. Kieran Blake is with me, of course, part of our 3 o'clock hour. Illawarra 54, New Zealand 42. That is live in the NBL as we speak at the moment. WNBL, our final quarter, just done. The Dandenong Rangers have got home against the Melbourne Boomers 78-69. So that one is done and dusted. We'll keep you right across the cricket and the golf, of course. Looking like it's going to go right down to the wire as Jeff Ogilvie regains the lead. We'll join our AO radio coverage after 4 o'clock. 13 under par, Ashley Hall at 12 under, Cameron Smith at 12 under, Jason Scrivener at 11 under, and Jordan Spieth as well. On a day where that leaderboard, Kieran, has just fluctuated. But Ogilvie looking to win for a second time.
Yeah,
might just get the chocolates.
Yeah, well, you never know, and it's tough when it's so many people around the top of the leaderboard, you know, flipping and flopping, and every hole is can prove crucial.
Indeed, Cheryl Downs is from the Women's Game at .com because the W League is live again this weekend. In fact, there is a live match going at the moment. Newcastle 1, Perth 0, but a big game for the Melbourne Victory, who are looking to get maximum points for the first time this season. They take on Sydney FC. It's down at Lakeside Stadium. Kick-off in about 8 minutes' time. Hello, Cheryl. Welcome.
Hello there. Thanks for having me on air, guys.
It's a big game, isn't it, for Melbourne? They need to really put the foot down today and try and get some early season points.
Absolutely. They've already got 1 point, which isn't too bad a start from the two games that they've had, but this is going to be a really intense match. It's always intense against Sydney, but I think just based on form, Sydney probably have a good run out there, and they've got Caitlin Ford back today as well after suspension last week.
Hot day down at Lakeside as well. I keep going on about the weather, but it is 35 degrees, so how are the girls going to cope?
Yeah, look, I think they should be all right. It's a little bit humid out here, but occasionally you do get a breeze off the lake as well. So they should be fine. They're just getting ready to come out very soon. They've been warming up well. So it all looks pretty good, but it will be a tough match.
One thing that's noticeable, Cheryl, in the early part of this W League season, which has gained some terrific publicity, is the crowd. So I think we had a record crowd in Brisbane for their opening home game against Sydney a couple of weeks ago. So there are plenty of people who are finding out about the W League and actually getting out and seeing it for themselves.
And that's what we've been waiting for so many seasons. So it's really great to see it replicated around the grounds. But here today in Melbourne, it's really pretty small crowd, to be honest. I think that we'd be lucky to have 100 or 200 people here, and I've heard it's been pretty much the same at City as well. So we do need as many people as possible to come out and see big games such as the Clash. I mean, traditional rivals with Melbourne and Sydney, so you're missing a big one if you're not here.
Righto, there's the call from Cheryl. You've got to get down and actually get the bums on seats and see it for yourself. Beautiful day to get down to Lakeside.
Fantastic.
Elbert Park afterwards.
Great weather in the sun,
exactly.
And like I said, it's warm.
Thanks, Cheryl. We'll keep in touch.
No problem. Bye-bye.
Cheryl Downs, womensgame.com. Victory and Sydney FC about to get underway. Now, we're all over the darts.
We love the darts.
Now, right now, of course, we have the Grand Slam event going on in Wolverhampton.
Bit of a unique event as well. I don't know if you guys are all over it, but there is two organisations that run darts. One's the PDC, where basically all the top players are, and the other one is the BDO, which is traditionally the BBC side of things. For this tournament, they actually invite 8 players from the BDO into the PDC to compete against the best of the best, and mixed results, but a few of them got through the first round. Unfortunately, they all fell at the second hurdle, unfortunately. So it's all PDC players in the are up to the semi stage, and they're going to play the semis and the final on tonight. So all on the same day. So if you can stay up and watch it on Fox, it'd be fantastic. But the big guns, Michael Van Gerwen.
Yes.
Smashed Brendan Dolan in the quarterfinal, 16 legs to 3. There was only one player turning up there. Snakebite Peter Rye, he snuck past the legend himself.
What's
Phil,
the
power
haircut
tail
for the snake?
He's got this two-tone Mohican happening side by side. So, and he obviously he paints the shaved side of his head to match his trousers as well. At Alexandra Palace, at the World Championships, sat down and spent a bit of time with Pierre. He's a fantastic bloke.
Yeah.
Doesn't take himself too seriously. Nah. It's all about image, but he can actually play darts, which is...
Has he got kids?
He has actually got kids.
Just pick him up at school?
And the other thing is, as well, He actually represents Scotland. Right. But if you ever met him and talked to him or hear him interviewed, you would never think he's Scottish. But he is very proud of his Scottish heritage. And when they actually go out and play Scotland, the crowd, because the tournament that was on last weekend was in Scotland, and he had massive support, and the crowd were very anti-English, and a lot of top players are English. And Phil the Power Taylor was subject to a lot of abuse from the crowd. He takes it in good humour, but that's part of the game nowadays in darts. Wouldn't have said that 20 years ago, that's for sure.
What about big Gary Anderson? Defeated Roman Van Barneveld?
Yeah, it went leg for leg for about the first 20 legs, and then all of a sudden Gary Anderson found a bit of form and pulled away. Beat Big Barney 16-13, and he's gonna play off against James Wade in the semi-final. And Wadey
joined us here a couple of years ago in the studio. James Wade, with
great guy.
He's
had a tough couple of years. Actually, he's been fighting the bigger the left-hander, and good to see him find a bit of form. And he needs as many ranking points as he can to keep himself in the top flight going into the World Championship. Obviously, starts in a couple of weeks' time.
These guys are doing pretty well, aren't they?
Oh, they are now.
Some good dollars.
Went through a bit of a doldrums 5 to 10 years ago, where darts struggled to get media coverage, and then Matchroom took it over, formed the PDC, and brought guys across. But the crowds in the UK and in Europe, and as we've seen in Melbourne and Australia, they absolutely love it. They turn out in droves in Wolverhampton at the minute. You can't buy a ticket for love nor money. There's 8,000 people in the arena, and the noise is non-stop. And,
well, that's what's caught our attention. Just everything else going on in and around the darts.
It's an interesting comparison. What we noticed, and talking to the guys from the PDC when we were there in London in December, when the darts is a little bit off, the crowd go a bit mad and start drinking more and getting a bit more crazy. Yeah. When the darts is of good quality and the matches are really tight, it actually settles down. So, you know, people are there for a great time, but they are actually darts aficionados. They do understand the game, and, you know, they pay great attention. But, you know, it's a fantastic atmosphere. And I've got to say, I've said this a few times, put it on your bucket list. Yeah. Please do. Get to the World Championships in London or one of these Premier League events. And I was just talking to Chris off-air about the Premier League when they hold it at Sheffield Arena.
Yep.
10,000 people in the stands, 3,000 people on the floor for a Premier League darts night.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
I mean, amazing.
It is. And look, we've got a man, Dan Dawson. He joins us each summer. So we sort of feel like we're there when we fill in here over the summer period on breakfast. And he just makes it into the best sporting event in the world. There's no other place you'd want to be than Alexandra Palace. Hey, a quick one on Simon Whitlock, because he's not faring that well, is he, the Aussie?
No, he's struggling. He got beat. And we talked about the last tournament. He actually, I think, Michael van Gerwen beat him 10-0 in the last tournament. And Whitlock is actually he struggled again. He only won one of his group games again. So... But darts, it's one of those sports where it comes and goes, and form, what they say, you know, form is temporary, class is permanent.
Yep.
Although he's probably waning a little bit now and there's a bit of pressure. But the one good thing about darts is, as you just touched on, you can make a decent living even if you are not the best in the world.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, good to spend an hour with you again.
Oh, love it.
Covered a bit of ground.
We definitely have. Gone from Quidditch to the roll-off World Championships to all sorts. I've got loads more, though.
We'll do it again.
Hope
Lock it in. 3 o'clock next week. We're going to uncover some more sports.